I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
He pioneered Jets blogging and podcasting. He brought smiles to the faces of Jets fans all over the world. He was there through the good and bad. And then, one day, he vanished. People far and wide wondered, where has he gone? When will he return? Thankfully, the answer is now. The OG of Jets podcasting and vlogging is back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
This is There's Always Next Year with Brian Bassett.
I'm back. The real me. Let's not make a whole thing of it.
And his co-hosts, Chef Travis Milton.
Today we're going to be making the students my tasty baked ziti with basil and fresh mozzarella.
And Josh Conrad.
Oh, my brother, testify.
On Turn on the Jets Digital.
Welcome back to There's Always Next Year. I'm your host, Brian Bassett. You can follow me on Twitter at Brian_Bassett. With me, as always, Travis Milton, who you can find on Twitter at -37board27, and Josh Conrad at Josh_Conrad on Twitter. Fellas, what the hell does Adam Gase think he's doing?
We are precariously close to the point of a season where we pick up three very meaningless wins and end up with the third pick. So it would be peak Adam Gase to not be good, but to win some games that hurts his team even more. Like that's the final level of Adam Gase's video game.
That's honestly, Travis, that is exactly what I said last week on the podcast. I was like, well, no one expects that they'll win any games between here and the end of the season. So, of course, that's what they'll do. And then, you know, here we go on Sunday watching the game, watching things unfold. And I'm like, what the hell do they think they're doing? What do they think they're doing here? Now, obviously, most of it was the Bills. Would you agree? This wasn't a flurry of just sheer amazingness by the Jets. This was more about the Bills. Would you agree?
I mean, I don't know that I would agree with that. I mean, the level of ineptitude in the second half was just mind-blowing. But at the same time, I do think that the Bills are, you know, they're not the contenders that everyone was making them out to be. I mean, when you're relying on, what's his name, I don't follow other teams' kickers. You know, when he's your only form of offense, well, they did put up like 420 some odd yards against the defense, but I really think it's just the Jets are just fucking terrible. It just, I can't put that on the Bills.
Okay. So it's the Jets' terribleness and the Bills, whatever, just looking over this week or whatever it was, which got them to dangerously close to messing with this ongoing streak. This is a thing that tends to bother me, because whenever the Jets are terrible, and let's face it, like they're not necessarily in tank mode, but for whatever reason, the Giants, who, you know, everyone agrees, like they're kind of, you know, the darling son of New York,
They get more attention, et cetera, et cetera. But in the years when the Jets are just utterly atrocious, Josh, what is it about the Giants that they cannot help themselves? And they're like, oh, well, the Jets are terrible. Well, gee, we want to be terrible too. We want the first overall pick. Like, that's not fair. Like, what is it about the Giants that any year the Jets have a chance doing truly something special, getting the first overall pick, the Giants have to be sniffing around? What is the deal?
If you grew up with brothers, I have two younger brothers, and there were moments in their upbringing that if they did anything noteworthy, you know, got a good grade on a test, like, you know, hit a home run in a Little League game, I feel like I went into this mode of like, no, I need to reassert dominance at every chance I can get for the next week to erase them completely. So I do think that exists, you know, on the NFL football level. I'm not sure Dave Gettleman and Joey Judge are looking across the water to Florham Park to see what the Jets are up to. But I do think that there's just enough connection between the two of them in the weirdest, worst year I think most people have gone through, that both teams to be this truly putrid is really a sight to behold. Obviously the Giants, you know, they have, I mean, Saquon Barkley is obviously a really great running back, and, you know, who knows what Daniel Jones can do. He can run 21 miles an hour, but he can't do that for 85 yards. He can only do it for 70 yards before he trips and falls all over himself on national television. So that play, actually, it was just nice. It was nice to think that the Giants are going to get made fun of for a couple of days before the Jets. But then the Jets didn't suck the entire time yesterday. So getting two quarters of competent football was a nice little way to grin at the Giants and feel like, man, we might have at least won the week in terms of not looking as inept as they did.
It was a nice little oasis, I agree, of like, hey, here's some competence, guys. Look at this. And then I think, of course, you know, the natural thing that we have to talk about is, you know, this is the game in which Adam Gase decides that, you know what, he's going to hand over play calling to one Patton Oswalt, who came in and it almost worked there. I mean, it looked good for a little bit. Travis, what were your thoughts of Doyle Legain's in the play calling? Let's not talk about the second half. Let's talk about the first half. Like, what did you see from Legain's in the first half, and were you impressed, or how did you feel about it?
Surprised. I recall a tweet by the boss man, Mr. Joe Caparoso, at some point in the second half that said, I hope we all never forget the 15 minutes today when we all wondered if Dole might be the next Andy Reid, and I about fell out of my chair. because I mean, for real, like I was in the, I had an event early on at the restaurant, so I missed a little bit of the first quarter.
Oh, okay.
And I sat down and I was like, whoa, wait, what's going on? And then I saw a really great, like, third, I think it was like, what was it, a third down and 20 conversion by, you know, by Darnold. And I was like, holy shit, what's going on? And, you know, we were up. Then I saw, you know, the P. Ryan touchdown. And I was really just kind of taken aback and be like, what the hell happened? And I didn't know that Doyle was calling plays.
Was calling the plays,
Until I saw him do that, like, half-hearted, almost fall down, comical chest bump. Like, did you guys see that after the touchdown?
That's amazing. So good.
He almost gets knocked down chest bumping, and then he's got like this little hand wave that looks like he's out of breath just from chest bumping. It was hilarious. But that aside, like, I mean, the first half, like, he was calling a pretty decent game. The rookies were getting involved. I really like that, and you know, there was, you could see a little bit of development in like P. Ryan, and, you know, you got to see a little bit of what Mims was about, and they were utilizing them. And then that second half, all of a sudden, it's like Mims is back on the IR. He doesn't get targeted at all, but P. Ryan's like not doing anything. I don't know what happened there, but like, man, like that first half, like, I forgot what it felt like to see decent football.
A lot of similar thoughts to Travis. Honestly, I thought this felt like a week where maybe Gase was, I think he's known for a while, like, he's probably not returning as the head coach of the Jets after the season. But it did feel like this game, was let me let my other guys do some stuff. And so obviously Greg Williams is dialing up a lot of pressure on Josh Allen, really getting after attacking the line of scrimmage like a Greg Williams defense does. And then our guy Ratatouille was dialing up some plays to get his guys in some space to make some things happen. And the frustrating thing, right, because we're Jet fans, we focus on the frustrations, mm-hmm. Is that, man, for seven games, like we didn't see, or six games, we didn't see, you know, Mims obviously was dinged up. But, man, if P. Ryan can run like this, like why wasn't he doing this week one, week two, week three, or even week five? Like, you know, there's been so little investment in him, and maybe it's an internal decision to, you know, maybe he wasn't picking up blitz packages or whatever practice has been looking like. But, you know, you would have thought that three games in, realizing, man, we don't have a team that's going to compete this year, let's throw it to the young guys and let them do some stuff.
Right.
I think we got a glimpse of that. And so, you know, you mix that in with hopefully a guy like Crowder, who's healthy. I'm going to advocate that you know, if there's value for him, like you make that move. But another guy alongside Mims, with Darnold, with a you know, a rebuilt line and a couple of investment pieces, like there might be something in a couple of years, but they have to figure out what they have. And that's what that first half felt like.
Yeah, I think that was the thing for me is I can't believe I'm going to suggest this, but my thought was when I watched I kind of caught up in the second quarter, and then I was watching the third and fourth quarter, and I was like, wait, did Adam Gase take over play calling again? Like, did he basically get back away from Ratatouille? Because like, I don't understand what else happened here. Like, it's the only thing I could say. It was like, I don't know if it was adjustments, and certainly the Bills, you know, played better defensively in the second half. But my initial thought is like, Adam Gase is such a dumpster fire of a human being. Like, of course, like why would I would not, there's a non-zero chance that he actually just pulled the reins back from Ratatouille. Like, I don't know if he did it or not. And I don't know if anybody's going to talk about it. You know, maybe whatever. And maybe he didn't, maybe he just ran out of gas. But yeah, that was my initial thought, is like, oh, I think Adam Gase is calling plays again. But then after the game, like, yeah, we got in the first half, and then, you know, the second half, not so much. Right. So I don't know if he's – I don't know what's going on there. But these are the mind games, the gaslighting that Adam Gase has done to me and my fandom of this team. What were your thoughts?
I mean, if we're gonna credit Greg Williams with being a little bit of a self-preservationist at this point, you know, the rational thought is that Gase is probably doing the same thing. Yeah. And so if he hands over the reins and the team looks good and they're beating a potential playoff.
Oh, yeah, he's got to.
He looks terrible. So let me give me the controller back and let me, you know, dive into the pit of fire and die before we reach the end of this level. Like, that's what it felt like.
Yes, that is exactly what it felt like to me. OK, so good. I'm glad I'm not alone in that thought. All right. So that was, I think that was the thing for me is, you know, that this week in Adam Gase was effectively right. Did he take the controller back and dive into the fire? You know, he says, you know, like he said after the game, we gave ourselves a chance. And I certainly think that's a half truth. They did give themselves a chance, but I certainly think the Bills were giving them many more chances than the Jets gave themselves. And right. You know, if the Bills are playing at least half, maybe three quarters of the league other than this team, that is a loss for the Bills, right? But they just so, you know, just so happened to be playing the Jets this week. And so they were able to skate away with a win. You talked about the rookie performances. You talked about Michael Pirine specifically. What did you guys see around Pirine? And then we'll get to Mims after that. What was it about his play? Was it the fact that he was hitting the holes well? Was it the fact that he was being patient, or, you know, just, I don't know, what did you specifically like about his game in the parts that you got to see of him playing? Josh?
Yeah, I, you know, there is just something about young legs and opportunity in a season that's going awry that'll light a fire. And so for a guy like P. Ryan, who maybe is already figuring out, like, there's going to be a new coach, probably a new offensive coordinator next year. like any chances I get, I'm going to really have to maximize. And so I really felt like, you know, especially the first half, obviously, because that's really where we saw him thrive and thrive, you know, relative. I mean, the longer run, the 20-yarder, 20-25 yarder, something like that. It just felt like, man, that guy, like it felt like a play he's run 100 times in practice. And so it just felt like that guy was really prepared, really keyed in. You know, a lot of the other carries were a little bit meh, but to get it, you know, get 10 plus carries in a game, to score a touchdown, like it really just felt like, all right, like we got a guy here that, is really excelling. And if there is like some of the Frank Gore mentorship piece that has been rumored a little bit with Lev Bell now out of the building, Frank Gore taking P. Ryan under his wing a little bit without that tension of Lev Bell, you know, needing and wanting to be the lead back. Listen, if there's not a better guy, I think, in the NFL for P. Ryan to learn from about longevity and effective, you know, ball carrying than a guy like Frank Gore. So, man, I felt good. Felt like he came in full of just kind of fresh legs and made the most of his opportunities. And I liked what I saw.
Nice. What were your thoughts, Travis, and what you got to see?
I mean, he's very, very much a rookie. I mean, if you looked at him in any kind of pass protection points where he was having to block, man, that guy's got a long ways to go. And, you know, but that's to be expected. I won't say that he like lit my world on fire, and maybe I'm just tempering expectations, because I feel like every year we see, like, you know, the backup running back going back and doing something that's
right. Trenton decent. Cannon, like, or
getting 40 yards, and I get stoked about it. And you know, I'm trying to temper that a little bit, but he looked good. I mean, his field vision looked good. He was hitting the holes pretty well when they were there. I will say this was not the greatest game for the offensive line, and that's saying a lot, because every game is not the greatest game for them. Although Becton was phenomenal outside of his two penalties.
Yeah, he had a couple plays where I think, I don't know if it was Hughes or who, kind of like put him on his butt, but there were times where it was hard for Sam to kind of hold a presence in the pocket, because it just was, it was coming apart pretty quickly. You can't kind of put it all on, oh, well, Becton had a bad game because he got dumped a couple times. It's like, well, that's going to happen when, you know, it's just a jailbreak, across the whole line. Like he's kind of working on an island there.
His bad game is nowhere near as bad a game as like everyone else on the offensive line tends to have.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, P. Ryan's a good player. I mean, he fourth round draft pick by the Jets. He comps most closely to T.J. Yeldon, who, you know, was obviously on the other side of the field there, but was a, you know, pretty highly touted player coming out of college out of Alabama. P. Ryan out of Florida, you know, at 216 pounds and, you know, had a pretty good college career. He wasn't necessarily a dominant player, but you know, he was playing in Florida, which is a, you know, decent program. So the big thing, which is why Gase loves him, is that he caught a lot of passes, right? So Adam Gase loves running backs who can catch a lot of passes, and he was pretty dominant in that capacity in college. But he's not necessarily the fastest guy. You know, his speed score, with a 4.6, you know, for 216 pounds, good, but, you know, it's fine for the NFL, but certainly not, you know, he's not a scorcher, but he's a good kind of grinder type, who can catch passes out of the backfield when you need him to. I liked what I saw from him. I thought it was good, but right. Yeah. There's a lot of room for improvement, and, you know, let's see what he does against a lesser, defensive line. What about what we saw from Denzel Mims, first game out for Denzel Mims? Josh, did you have any thoughts and kind of what you saw from him? He seemed to, you know, do a lot of damage early and then was quiet. Well, you know, the whole offense was quiet, I should say, the second half.
Yeah.
What do you think of his first half play?
Yeah. You know, obviously he's getting a lot of targets that maybe Crowder would have seen this week, but just having that guy on the field, again, it just adds this element of a capable offense. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, he's comparable to a DK Metcalf or even a guy in his class like Justin Jefferson, but Denzel Mims seems like he's going to be a solid, just a solid wide receiver. And so, you know, having a guy like that on the field, who's going to create a little bit of space, he's going to fight for 50-50 balls and come away with a lot of them, was encouraging, you know? And so he obviously, like, it felt like the second half again, whatever happened at halftime, something completely shifted. Cause I don't even think we saw him. I don't think he got a target in the second half. But in that first
Adam
half, obviously,
was Adam Gase
switched up the chef rotation in the Ratatouille kitchen. And, right. You know, what are we going to do? But yeah, I'm going to be a Mims guy. I feel like that guy's just tough. And I feel like he's out there to compete. And so again, you know, seeing both of those young guys get a lot of opportunities, a lot of run together, was encouraging. It has to be encouraging for Joe Douglas coming out of the draft, feeling like, all right, maybe we have something here and we have to complement both of these players with other guys at their positions, to round out the offense. But, having Mims on the field, you know, making catches, getting a team lead of 7 targets, man, was that just like a breath of fresh air in the midst of a non-fresh air season.
Yeah. Did you have any thoughts, Travis, specifically around Mims, what you got to see?
Well, before I get to Mims, I've got a quick aside. I know that every now and again, I give these little pearls of what it's like to live in southwestern Virginia, northeastern Tennessee. I don't know if you can hear it, but right now my neighbor is yelling at a squirrel on her front porch while attempting to blow leaves off of the same porch with a hairdryer. And I am utterly enthralled with what is going on.
I think you need to take a picture of that. And I think you need to send that to us, because I think I need to see some of this. That is amazing.
It is insanely amazing. But back to Mims, I think, one of the most,
you know what, honestly, when I think about that lady, that's kind of how Adam Gase like runs his organization, right? Like he's using a hair dryer to blow leaves.
Yep.
You know,
while yelling at an inconsequential squirrel.
I was going to say the perfect visual of what Jets Twitter looks like.
That too.
I think with Mims, like the first half of that game, I think what we got to see something that we haven't seen all year long, and it was the two outside receivers actually playing together and seeing them get a little bit of separation. And you know, like you said, Mims didn't even have a target in the second half, and which, you know, I again, no idea, like that was Adam Gase, whatever the hell happened there. But I think that actually made me come out of the game thinking worse about Darnold than anything, because you can see, you know, these guys are getting separation, you know, for once. And, you know, he had open receivers at points, and he was either sliding in the pocket too early or, you know, creating havoc for himself. And, you know, I think the biggest thing I came out of that game with was Adam might have completely finally ruined Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Yeah, he's broken. He's now a broken man. Yeah, it's hard to, obviously we're going to have more games this season to see if that theory plays out, but he sure looked like a broken man in the second half of that game. And, you know, part of it was, you know, they were dialing up the pressure and they were moving him around, and, you know, it was hard for him to get a platform to throw from, but regardless, right, I mean, you've got, you know, a 6'3", 208-pound receiver with 4'3 wheels, you know, just upper percentile, you know, speed,
use him,
you know, catch, you know, everything scores in Mims. And so, yeah, I mean, here's what I'll say is, like, you know, Mims obviously was, you know, faced up against a little bit of a banged up secondary in Buffalo against Buffalo. But, you know, the big thing is, I mean, let's remember, like, this is his first NFL game. So to corral whatever it was, 4 catches, like, that's pretty good. And so, right, like, you know, there's been no preseason. He's been, you know, injured quite a bit, unfortunately, which is a little bit worrisome. But, you know, let's see how he comes along between now and the end of the year, because, right, I'm very curious, and I hope that, you know, if having him on the field can be effective for Sam Darnold, obviously, if Sam Darnold's getting the time to throw the ball to him. So, yeah, similarly, I liked what I saw. It's weird that in the loss, you know, there was still some positives, but then, yeah, the big negative is, you know, what's happening with Darnold. I think that, you know, we're now going to see, this is a lot of people have been asking these questions, you know, over the last, you know, many weeks, like what will happen with Darnold and the Jets in 2021. And I fully believe that the next, you know, 8-9 whatever weeks left there are in the season are going to help set that, you know, set that in stone one way or another. We do need to talk about, there was an interesting tweet I saw from Daniel Jeremiah. Obviously Daniel Jeremiah is a Joe Douglas guy. But he did have an interesting tweet in which he said, where was it? Darn it. I had it. Basically that, you know, the Jets rookie class is going to be really good. This is yesterday during the games. Good sign for things to come. They have a zillion picks in the next two drafts. So, right. So I think the point is, if we like a little bit of what we see from LaMichael Perine, if we like what we see a little bit from Denzel Mims, if we like what we've seen from kind of Austin Davis and, you know, some of these other players, Bryce Hall, there's Mekhi Becton, of course, you know, there, you have to feel good about the Jets if hopefully they keep Joe Douglas, if they keep Joe Douglas as they move forward. So that, yeah, there are pieces, right? They're not going to be able to do it all on their own. But yeah, it's hard not to see some validation of the picks, which Joe Douglas has made in this most recent draft class. I don't know. Did you guys have any thoughts specifically around that? Just kind of the pieces and the hope for the future, or just no, just more of the same with the Jets, Josh?
I mean, you want to hit, you know, if you can hit under top three draft picks in any draft, you're going to be building really good NFL teams. And so Becton already feels like a locked in, unless that guy gets injured, like he can play at this level. He's a really effective left tackle. You know, Mims seems to be an NFL caliber wide receiver. But right, we've seen so little. And so his development now going forward is going to be really crucial. Same with Perine, you know, same with a guy like Bryce Hall. There's a lot of pieces here that like I do really love. And so if nothing else, in a draft where the Jets weren't like swimming in picks, the next 2 years are really crucial for Joe Douglas to really like make these picks hit as much as he possibly can. And so if that guy can get a little bit away from Adam Gase, hopefully after this season, hopefully it's before the draft, like it would be the most Jets thing ever to keep Gase on through the draft somehow. And then, you know, not fire him or not replace him. And he's still a part of the organization in some way. Man, I'm hopeful that it's a Joe Douglas only draft. And then he and the front office are picking the coach together. That's the best hope. I really think that's realistic, but I do hope that he gets another 2 years at this, because what he has this year added to the next two draft classes, it could be, you know, the beginning of something really exciting. And listen, like, if they get the number one pick, I don't know what you do other than take Trevor Lawrence and see what you can get for Darnold. I think that, you know, that's not Sam's fault. That's not all the organization's fault either. There's been, you know, not great development, not great coaching, not great opportunity, and not great, you know, personal development in 2 years. And so, you know, you have to take the guy like Trevor Lawrence there, see what you can get for Darnold and build. But, you know, I am hopeful. Joe Douglas does give me some hope. And then to see guys outside of the Jets kind of sphere also say that there's some hope there is hopeful in itself.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Hey guys, sorry to cut in for a quick second. Just want to thank everybody who's listening to There's Always Next Year and let you know about the fact that winning season is back at my bookie. Right now, the NFL, college football, and baseball playoffs are all going on. No shortage of games to watch and thousands of lines available on your favorite sports and events. And you can turn these games you're watching into a payday with MyBookie. Use the promo code OVERTIME and claim a deposit match dollar for dollar all the way up to $1,000. It's a bonus designed to give you a little help and a head start on your winning season. That's promo code OVERTIME for you to claim your bonus when you make your first deposit. And for the future, I highly recommend betting on whoever's playing the Jets. So that'll make you plenty of money right now at MyBookie. Remember, use the promo code OVERTIME and you can claim a deposit match dollar for dollar all the way up to $1,000 on your first deposit. All right, Brian, sorry to hijack the show for a second. The floor is yours, sir.
Before we close this out, I need some advice from you. So I'm in the Outer Banks of North Carolina with my family this week. We're doing virtual school through January. And we said, okay, this is a good opportunity for a break. So we're down staying in a nice house and one of our family members, which was very sweet of them to let us use it. I've got my visor. I've got my frosted tips,
Salt Life, baby.
Stuff ready. Yeah, I've got my Salt Life. Like, what else do I need to do while I'm down here? I need some tips on the Outer Banks.
You have to get veterans. A puka shell necklace.
Yeah, at a Super Wings. A Wings or
yes,
a Super
100%.
Wings?
100%. Yep, Super okay. Wings. And get a pair of cargo board shorts.
Mm-hmm. I might already have those.
All right. Fair. Are you wandering around with a bag of boiled peanuts, or what's your boiled peanut situation?
My boiled peanut situation is I have none. Thank you. Okay, so I need to get some boiled peanuts. All right.
If I still had Facebook, that would be my Facebook status of the day. What's your boiled peanut situation?
Travis asks every place he goes to. What's the boiled peanut situation?
Well, my old one was the Always Sunny episode where they take Charlie out for, they think it's his birthday, and he's walking around with a plastic bag of spaghetti, yes. And he goes to the movie theater and says, before I go in, can I ask what your spaghetti policy is? That's my go-to, but now it's bull peanut situation.
Brian, I'm assuming you're at this point 40% duck donut is your body's mass at this point. You got some duck donuts in you.
It's actually closer to 52%, but yes, we've had no duck donuts yet. Can we please explain to people from the Northeast what duck donuts is or are or could be?
Yes.
I mean, duck donuts might take over the world, but according to Josh and Travis, not because they're tasty. Is this correct?
No.
What
they're not tasty.
Duck donuts, the phenomenon of duck donuts to those who would have never experienced duck donuts.
The only draw to duck donuts is that you're at the beach, and are there a plethora of donut shops around you? No, there's one.
No.
It's called Duck Donuts.
Duck
there's going to be a line down the street, and socially distanced, it's probably reaching
it worse.
From like Kill Devil Hills all the way to Duck. And it's just not a good donut, guys. Like if you're in the Northeast, go to Dunkin' Donuts, buy a donut, make it a little bit, maybe a little bit better, and that's the donut that Duck Donuts is serving up. It is not special by any means.
All right, Travis, what is your take? What is the chef's official take on Duck Donuts?
My official take on Duck Donuts is I'm assuming what they've done there is they've taken a turd.
Oh, my.
And wow. Thickened it with flour, piped it out, and baked it. Like, that is, that's where I'm
that's
at. It's just
strong.
Like a floury, gross, but I don't like cake donuts. I'm a true Southerner, and I've always noticed there's a difference between people from the North and people from the South. People from the South tend to like yeast donuts like Krispy Kreme, mm-hmm. and people from the North like cake donuts. And I mean, that's representative of, you know, Dunkin' Donuts always being up North and Krispy Kreme's always being in the South. But man, those donuts are complete and utter shit. They are not good. This thing, and I think it's all a part of this salt life mentality that you can take something incredibly mediocre.
Yes.
Like mind-blowingly mediocre, and all of a sudden, because it's at the beach, it's slightly better than mediocre, and you love yes. it because it's a part of it's a part of the salt life. You know, you're out there, yes. you're living the salt life, you're smelling the salt air, you're feeling the brisk breeze on your frosted tips. You know, what's better than having a Bush Light and you know.
The other thing about the Outer Banks is there's so many goddamn Steelers fans down here. It's unbelievable. Yes. They all come from Western Pennsylvania. We went for a walk this morning. Okay. And I need to get back to Duck Donuts in a second. But so Duck Donuts are, for people who don't understand, it's a place you go and you custom order like a dozen donuts or however many you want. But then you can pick like the toppings and they custom make them for you. So you get a cake donut and then they put, let's say, like a peanut glaze or a maple glaze, and then they can put bacon on it. So they're not sitting there waiting for you to be picked out. They actually are coming out hot and they're doing it and then they're making them. That is the only, that's the value. And then if you like cake donuts, I'm a cake donut fan. I grew up, you know, you go to an orchard or something like that as a kid and you eat a cake, you know, cider or cake donut or whatever. So anyway, but yes, we will go there at least twice, I'm sure, before the week is out. And we're leaving in like 4 days.
It's like putting flowers on a hot turd. I'm telling you, like the only good thing is the toppings.
The toppings. Well, it's your sauce theory. It's your sauce theory, Travis.
Exactly. Yes. Like no one yes. wants to eat food. They just want sauce. They just have to have a socially acceptable way to eat massive amounts of
to
maple
eat
syrup.
Blackberry sauce.
Yeah, exactly.
Drizzled stuff. So we're. Go ahead.
I don't think I've ever heard a better description of Outer Banks than there's a lot of Steeler fans here. That might be the perfect way to we should at some point, boys, do coastal towns and what it actually like when people go, what's Tampa, Florida like? And it's like, yeah, take a little bit of Pittsburgh, a little bit of Philly, and stick it on the beach. Like that's
and
kind of
the
Tampa.
Most, the most strip clubs per capita of any place in the country.
Right.
Yes. In the middle of that. I was just going to say, like, I'm thinking, like, now, like, I'm going to just create a new persona, and I'm just going to go down there, and I'm just going to start wandering around the streets with a twisted tea in my hand, and I think everyone's going to like me.
I think they will. Unfortunately, there's no Little Caesars down here. But, yeah, so we were out on the beach for a walk this morning, and we, like, you know, there are all the surf casters that are out in the morning. And like this one guy, like, of course, like he's got all his surf casting gear. Great. Good for you. Have fun. Catch some striped bass, like, whatever. Cool. But like everything had like Steelers logos on it, like, you know, stickers and, you know, his umbrella had to be, you know, that colored. And I was just like, what is it with you people? Like, I know Pittsburgh is a terrible city, but like, is this the only good thing about your city? Like Permane brother, like someone shoved coleslaw and french fries into a sandwich and the Steelers, is that it? Like, is that all you guys have? Come on. So I'm at the Outer Banks this week. I'm crying because I'm laughing at you guys. and those descriptions, those are so good. All right. We will be back next week after the colossal blowout by the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you guys have any guesses on what the opening line was? What was the opening line last night?
Oh, I saw it already this morning.
Oh, go ahead.
29, is that right?
No, not 29.
It's It's 20 even. I am mashing the Jets are covering that spread. 20 points. 20.
It depends on when they start taking their players out, right? I think it all comes down to when do they start taking their players out.
That's kind of my point. This has 35 to, you know, to 15. To 17 written all over it. Like, the Jets are going to cover that. Lock it in.
All right. All right, oof. Bill Simmons. And
That's a bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
All right.
Guess the lines. All right.
Well, we'll be back for Parents Corner next week. But and you each have to come up with a coastal city and then the inhabitants, how you would describe
the
it.
The corollary,
The mashups from other cities. That is going to be your homework this week.
I got dibs on Wilmington.
Okay, well,
I'm
nice.
Calling. Yeah, I got a Newark comparison that's going to blow your minds.
Man.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Excellent. Well, gentlemen, have a good week. You can go to Duck Donuts on me and just tell them I sent you. Guys can get a free dozen of Duck Donuts on me as long as you're wearing your Salt Life t-shirt and your Frosted Tips and your visor. Everyone, have a good week. Sure to like and review the Play Like a Jet feed. Thanks to Play Like a Jet. Thanks to Scott. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Big Boss Joe. Everybody have a good week. Talk to you next week. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.